Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Welcome back, Adam, for the last time this week. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm going to say unbelievably well, and touch wood. How are you?
Corona-free for now. But if the relaxation of regulations and mask wearing is anything to go by, my government is probably going to help me not able to say that for much longer.
Talk
to us about the big shortages that you're seeing.
Given this new benchmark, 1 million confirmed cases now in the world, and the World Health Organization, they sort of pick on parts of the world as they look at it, and they're particularly concerned at the moment about countries in the Middle East. We know about Iran, for instance, having a lot of cases, and they sort of spiked very early. But the WHO is looking at other countries in that region. But the shortages in particular are, well, we know about equipment and testing kits, and that seems to go for virtually every country on Earth, but also nurses, frankly. And interesting that the International Council of Nurses had said that even before the pandemic, there was a shortage of 6 million nurses around the world. Now they're saying that this is getting worse, of course, because an awful lot of nurses are also now having to take time out to self-isolate, as well as the ones who've actually contracted the disease. And in South Korea, interesting there that they appear not to have quite such a shortage, but there they describe the nurses and doctors how unbearable the protective clothing is. So in that particular instance, they've got lots of protective clothing, but maybe even the wrong kind, too much of it, that it's so hard to work in. And how's this for a stat? Overall, there is a global shortage because 89 million medical masks and gloves will be needed every month.
Jeepers.
And that's going up. That's on an upward trajectory. So 100 million a month of that kind of stuff, just to keep up with demand as it is.
And, you know, interesting, we were doing our emerging economies coverage yesterday, and we're looking at India, and they were talking about how they'd just been exporting masks themselves, but at the same time need to shut down. So, I mean, it's going to be, I mean, obviously it's an essential service, but it's going to be a bit hectic to try and keep up with that that demand in a socially distant operating
store. Yeah, there's also a problem, I think, that has come about, which is, you know, certain countries are better at producing this stuff. And in normal walks of life, we would all be trading like crazy and go, well, you've got the masks. Well, we've got some corn and there's the swap.
Right.
Well, in the current climate, countries that have just about enough for themselves do not want to necessarily share with other countries. And even within the European Union, which is, after all, one big trade organization, they are finding that some countries are considerably better off than others for testing kits and protective equipment, and they don't necessarily want to send them next door. That's a problem.
Indeed. In fact, India was trying to cover up the fact that they'd exported all those. Let's talk a little bit about this contradiction in the United States.
It's an extraordinary thing. Yes. I suppose partly because of their system, which is that individual states are given so much autonomy over certain powers. And then, of course, you know, there are federal things as well. But given that they therefore have 50 different approaches to quarantine and lockdown, and you have confusion, for instance, it's not just about, you know, people who live in New York must do that, because after all, lots of people who work in New York live in New Jersey, or lots of people who work in Washington live in Virginia and Maryland.
Oh, that's right.
Two states with different approaches. The grim medical warnings there about 100,000 deaths. Well, we now know that they've had an enormous number of cases overnight and reporting 43,000 deaths overall, with 200,000 plus infections. And yet, carriages on the New York subway have been crowded on some mornings. There's a church in Louisiana where the pastor, Tony Spell, he's become a bit of a notorious figure in the United States. He is pulling in his flock, insisting he has the religious right to worship. And how's this, Rafilway?
Yes.
There are pictures all over the internet of college students on their famous spring breaks, packing out the bars and beaches of Florida.
Florida, yes. Yeah. I've seen that. Those interviews, terrible.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And, I mean, the governor of Georgia saying, as he had a press conference, I think, yesterday, saying, oh, and I just found out yesterday, 24 hours ago, that you can still pass on the disease even if you're asymptomatic. January called. Anyways.
Some people are on catch-up, it's true.
Correct. Okay, drone disinfection. This is something that I saw being used in Dubai as well.
Yeah, and they've had a go at this in China and to some extent in India. Sometimes you get the idea that, you know, this is other people's thing. But how about doing it in our own backyard? And certainly in the UK, there have been a number of calls for the government to be allowed to use drones to spray chemicals from the air onto particular parts. I mean, disinfecting Trafalgar Square, for instance, would be an interesting one. Obviously, you clear the people out of the way. Or do you? I don't know. It's not clear how effective it is, I would say. In certain circumstances, the thought is maybe this would be a good thing. But aerial spraying of chemicals is banned in any number of countries, including across the whole of Europe. It's banned. Could they possibly relax the rules in the current climate and do what China and India have been doing? Could drone pilots be trained and tasked to do this? There are certainly some very keen droners. Let's put it that way.
I think only if people actually observe and obey the lockdown, because China, when I saw the videos of them doing it, it was because they were able to do it because everyone was indoors.
Because the streets were empty. Yes,
right.
Exactly that.
Whereas South Africans are like, I still want to walk my dog. I still want to get cigarettes, you know, and now it's going to be, they're going to catch dry, you know, drone dust in their eyes. Anyway, thank you so much, Adam. Let's hope for better news in the new year, in the new week. Have a safe weekend over there.
You too. Thank you very much.
All righty, Adam Gilchrist there.